Michael Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
World Atlas of Cheese by Nancy Erkoff-Stalker, 1976. Coffee Table, encyclopedic classic, well, Atlas nonetheless. Well, it's sort of an educational, the Atlas is sort of surrounded by cheese education, so you're educated about the rudimentaries of cheese, and then, rudiment comes from, but, about the, curd, whey, maturation of cheese, flavoring, storage, different techniques, and eventually you learn more and more about cheese and the in-depth as you go through all different countries, going through Europe, America, Africa, Middle East, the rest of Asia, and finally Australia and New Zealand, winding up with New Zealand as a promising powerhouse. And it's sort of interesting to reflect on the world, how it's changed since 1976, but also the knowledge of how cheese is essentially a protein source that civilizations acquire and can exploit once they become farming. Once they farm cattle, they have this protein source, and depending on what happens, they can get the cheese to go through diverse landscape. It can be actually manufactured and stored and brought across. Besides the country, you get other ideas of the farmer, the farmer's wife, affineurs, connoisseurs, boards, people who consume it, a whole feast of people, and the interaction between cheese and society. So Roman society, cheese was central, having cheese sculptures and stuff like that, and special cheese rooms. They also did a whole lot of other aspects of cheese is mentioned, but in the ancient rites, there was the Cyclops, who was a cheese maker, and people were impressed with cheese making as a sort of a central part of civilization. And as such, it's sort of a dimension which was dimension sort of a stabilizing part of civilization. So civilization rebirthed with the monasteries, rebirthed along with cheese. A very interesting thing to look at. I'm not a cheese fanatic, but let's read page 195, which is the appendix called Living with Cheese. Above, there's a picture. I'll just describe the picture. It's roughly 15 centimetres by 13 centimetres, as a guess. And it's just showing this very black place with the big Edam Francais on the top with the old price per kilo of lire per kilo. I suppose it's in kilos. It's the very old thing where you could actually rotate number wheels and the numbers out. You wouldn't see this for a long while. Different cheese. And it's just a photograph against there. And you look at the underneath. It's interesting that this is some sort of table with books stacking it up underneath. Okay, above. Connoisseurs used to buy cheese sent from remote villages at the old markets of Laals in Paris. Laals, alas, is gone forever. With the cheese finding newer, bigger and more distant markets, you can buy cheese in every city, every village, from factories, farms, street markets, in almost every country in the world. Shops can now rely on refrigeration and air freight to supply a remarkable selection of rare and wonderful cheeses. She is can't help bursting along with enthusiasm for cheese. She's also a typical Western person, a bit condescending. The different cheese, camel, you've got camel cheese, amazing, that buffalo cheese, mozzarella. Those are comments of various things. Storage and treatment of cheese. In the descriptions of individual cheeses we have already touched upon, the subject of storing them correctly and keeping them in good condition, although no one single rule can be laid down, we can distinguish between some groups, each with a different set of requirements. Storage and treatments cannot be separated from the ripening process. Every cheese ripens with time, I suppose except processed cheese, where ripening has been zapped out of existence. with time, and one of the aims of correct thawing is to let the process continue as regularly as possible under optimum condition. Fresh cheeses like Spies Quark. Now remember, quark is a type of cheese, which I really forgot what it is. I think it's something to do with skim milk or something like that. Cottage cheese, Fromage Frais. Could be considered an exception to this rule. With these cheeses, the aim is to prevent further ripening as much as possible. It's fresh when they reach the consumer. And this explains why a closed chain of refrigerated storage and transport is essential, starting with the manufacturer, by the wholesale, exporter, importer, sales organisations, and so down the line to the cheese shop. During its journey, the cheese must stay cool all the time. The next category, soft, semi-hard and hard cheeses. And the soft, semi-hard and hard cheeses need specific conditions calculated to let the ripening process continue. Warehouses must be hygienic and the cheeses should be laid side to side in clean planks of good wood. Cheeses stacked on each other cannot breathe properly. Obviously it should be adapted to the type, temperature and relative humidity being regulated within narrow limits. Air circulation is also important. Regular quality tests should be carried out in the first place by inspection and tasting, perhaps supported by bacteriological and chemical tests in laboratories, electron microscopes and chromatographs. Nowadays, it would be a chemical chromatograph to actually look at the masses. You can also do neutron scattering through your cheeses. That's not such an impractical idea. Cheeses with dry rinds. In the storage room, cheese rind starts to form and thicken. The rind protects the cheese in the same way as our skin protects us, preventing penetration of microorganisms and regulating moisture retention of the body. I think she's gone a bit mad. The rind is very important and deserves every care and attention during storage. Mold tracks, if they are not meant to develop on the cheese type, must be removed by brushing, rubbing with dry cloths, salting, washing and scraping. The actions are usually performed when the cheese is turned. It's laborious work to lighten it with the the cheese is often treated with a rind covering substance. The most well known are paraffin plastic wax. I suppose now you can have got those the esters, polyesters, aren't they? Polyether. You've got completely artificial stuff. And what is that? It's oxygen to carbons. Oxygen to carbon is Delrin. And it's neuroplastic heat. Most well known, paraffin and plastic wax both can be applied as soon as the cheese is stored. Later on, the process may be repeated. To apply a layer of paraffin, the cheese must be immersed in hot paraffin bath. The advantage of paraffin wax is that any gas escaping from the body of the cheese is let through. Plastic is more flexible. It is applied with a sponge by hand or mechanically. It gives slightly less protection against the build-up of mold, and its gas transmission capacity is less. So paraffin's the way to go, isn't it? Cheeses with surface molds. With many cheeses, the rind is the carrier of the microflora and gives the cheese the entertaining, enchanting smell and flavour. White mold of Camembert type must be allowed to develop as fully as possible since it helps ripen the cheese. Cheeses of the Limburger type, with an orange-red smear of Corian bacteria on the rind, need a damp atmosphere and correct development of the growth of bacteria to encourage by regular washing of the rind with a damp cloth. This can be also done mechanically. Packaging. Packaging plays an important role with all cheeses, and there are a wide range of materials in which cheeses can be wrapped or packed. Various systems have been developed for soft or hard, bulk or cut cheeses as a result of rich graduation of cheese types and a general demand for attractive looking but very reliable packaging materials. This goes particularly for the sensitive soft cheeses. Brie on small rush mat, for example, looks delicious when it is as its peak, but when it's not, forget it. A good piece of pre-packed brie would be much better choice in such a situation. It's usual to wrap soft cheese types in paraffinated paper or lacquered aluminium foil. Parchment also may be used sometimes, e.g. Munster and Rodmore. The parchment absorbs some of the moisture, which is necessary with certain types of cheese and can be easily removed. After wrapping, soft cheeses types are usually packed in boxes. In the past, it was normally a chip box, but today, folding carton is often used, which can be easily manufactured and in all the desired forms. For example, for a single portion of brie, banner rolls, small bands, sometimes made with straw, are often used as well, particularly for goat cheese. The pre-packaging of semi-hard and hard cheese is more recent procedure than the pre-packaging of soft cheeses. It's made the appearance of the self-serve shop and supermarket. It's now part of everyday life. For these cheese types, several possible methods may be used. Ripened cheese is cut into pieces and wrapped in translucent foil. A thin foil tightly encloses the cheese, giving an attractive appearance. Hermetic sealing, however, is not possible with this material. The cheese can only be kept in this wrapping paper for a few days. Alternatively, pieces of cheese or complete cheeses of small dimensions can be vacuum packed in shrink bags. After the cheese is put in, the air is sucked out. The transparent bag is either closed by a clip or seal, then exposed to heat. The material shrinks and fits the cheese like a glove. An excellent method for cheese of irregular shapes, such as provolone, for example, is airtight packaging to prevent mold growth. Slices of cheese are vacuum packed in the same way. Nitrogen gas may be inserted to prevent slices sticking together. That is an interesting thing. I wonder if it's all the craze now is these sealed packages of cheese, pre-sliced cheese. I use it all the time. And I just wonder if they have nitrogen gas. Why they don't use argon? I suppose nitrogen is easier. Slices of cheese are vacuum packed. Some nitrogen gas may be inserted to prevent slices from your vacuum packed cheese can be kept for about 5 weeks, preferably below 10 to 12 degrees Celsius. This type of packaging is recognizable by much thicker material and a prominent clip on the sealed stream. Rindless cheese. The third possibility is not to allow the cheese to undergo normal ripening. Instead, it is immediately vacuum packed as soon as it is removed from the brine bath and dried. Ripening then takes place in the packaging, and no rind is formed because of the absence of air. Cheddar is particularly suitable for rindless wrapping in foil. Preparation of cheese must be adapted in some respects amongst things the starter used. Ripening should also take place at lower temperatures than normal. Consequently, the process is slower. And you've got all those things to balance. What is cheese? Cheese in shops. Oh my godfather. These are 1970s shops. Oh my god, what's this? Let's see. Left. The new building has replaced the old. Attractive Victorian markets in Shrewsbury, Shropshire. In this English market, Cheddar and Cheshire are and this is a market with huge quantities of cheese. It looks a real dive. There's dirt on the floor. It's revolting. Cheese in the shops. With fast trucks and ships and planes properly refrigerated all the way, the cheese retailer has supplies of cheese delivered to his door at least once every week. Even the most perishable cheese can arrive in perfect condition. The cheese shop, the most important link between the producer and the consumer, usually has refrigerated rooms and cool display units where the cheese is viewed so the consumer can choose the wide variety of cheeses. Remember Canadian variety cheese. And not so long ago, it was quite impossible. Apart from the obvious seasonal cheeses, for example, the first grass cheese in spring, and some cheap cheeses, there is a little arrivage de fromage nowadays. Arrivage de fromage nowadays. This used to be a cry from Paris messenger boards when they delivered fresh cheese to the shops, warning the buyers to hurry before the supply was sold out. Today, via different sales channels, the possible intermediate stations, there's a steady flow of cheese to the final sales outlet. There are many places where one can buy cheese. The market trader for his attractive stalls knows just how to present his wares and generally does it with style. His knowledge and expertise is important to the trade. The range, as in the shops, is constantly increasing and the buyer who knows the market has all the advantages. it's like typical in life, isn't it? Like, I don't know what to buy a car. Every time I buy something, someone goes, oh, interesting, you bought that Christmas tree? That's been overpassed by everybody else who knows about Christmas trees. So in Australia, for some reason, people want to suddenly ditch the Japanese plastic ones. We've got these trees. Go out to the rural fire services, and you see all these women notably arrive in their two-seater sports car and strap the tree in the car with them, so they sort of drive it so the passenger is the tree. And typically, I don't know the best tree to buy, and buy the wrong one. You know, something which looks big is too big to fit inside, or has got the wrong shape. Okay, the specialised cheese shop. A well-equipped cheese specialist shop still instills confidence in prospective buyers. A great variety of cheese types, some tastefully arranged in cool trash cans, some carefully tended display on scrupulously clean planks. A great range of cheese giving pleasure to the customer. Most likely, I remember a test, s'il play, a little, a tranche. And I do remember buying cheese in France. You could ask for a small one. The range of cheese giving pleasure to the customer, most likely, he never realizes the problems of such assortment can cause the trader. But to him, it's also a demonstration of the trader's professional skill. He must be an expert buyer. He's always taking into account the customer's taste and his own storage facilities. Suitability of cheese cannot be taken for granted. Soft cheeses, for example, require a temperature of 5 to 8 degrees Celsius. The cooled showcase will be the only place for them in the shop. Semi-hard cheeses can be stored at somewhat higher temperature. 6 to 12 degrees is usually suitable. Low temperatures cannot do any harm, but could cause problems when the cheese is suddenly exposed to much higher temperature, resulting in moisture in the air condensing on the surface of the cheese. If this happens, the plastic layer is more or less dissolves the cheese, may lose its protective jacket. If the storage temperature is higher than 12 degrees, the process of ripening will be accelerated, often resulting in an undesirable bacteria development with a strange smell and flavour. The cheese needs space. For a 1-ton cheese, about 30 metres of shelving is needed, through which the air can properly circulate. In addition, 30 metres will be necessary for presentation and sales. The maximum first in, first out usually applies. Otherwise, cheeses would remain in stock for too long and deteriorate. Good cheese shop, if only for its own interest, must avoid this. As far as presentation is concerned, the cheese trader should not only be a good buyer, but a real window dresser who knows how to arrange his cheeses with their attractive labels in such a way that every sort appears at full advantage and invites the purchase. This can be achieved by attractive combination and contrast, putting a few cheeses on the red cellophane between the yellow and white ones, and varying the display on other rich coloured wrappings and cartons. With cheeses on straws, cheeses on leaves, and articles can be combined with cheese, such as nuts, olives, and special bottles of wine. The shopkeeper can also create and maintain the highest hygienic conditions in the shop, as well as in his own personal appearance. He must be a cheese expert, giving the customer not only the cheese he wants, but his attention and his advice as well. Most of his clients will be looking for an individual service and advice about the specific qualities of various cheeses, about differences in flavour, about their possible use of cream, or perhaps their value in certain diets. See, this is missing from our society. We're just hiring morons to do it. I want a good cheese person. Now, they will also want to be on suitable combinations of cheese on the plate, or which wines go well with cheeses. Or perhaps about storage conditions. One of the most certain questions is, quote, can the rind be washed, can the rind of washed cheese be eaten? In theory, the answer is yes, if the cheese is not plastic coated. But in practice, this is not entirely true. In some cases, the plastic layer cannot be torn off, and can hardly be seen, so its safest advice is to cut off the rind. Option vary on the white rind of Camembert type cheeses. Some people find the rind the best part of others remove it, the rind to escape its surface, or scrape its surface. It's always worthwhile to find a good cheese shop. Make friends with the shopkeeper, ask his advice, and discuss Jesus with him. A sympathetic salesperson is the best teacher you can find. The supermarket. In the supermarkets and shopping centres, there's usually no source of expert information available. Here, the cheese have been divided into portions, pre-packed and provided with their names, weights and pieces, and prices, and possibly with additional information. You will not find real specialties here. In general, the emphasis will be on semi-hard and hard cheeses, which are more resistant to handling and soft varieties. These earlier types can be found in cool showcases, pre-packed in small units. Pre-packed cheese has its advantages. You choose the piece you like best, its weights, its price have already been determined, no waiting necessary, and if it's vacuum packed, the cheese can be stored in its packing for quite a long period. Practical hints. We have noted the essential difference between cheese boutiques where the information must be and may be given into the cheese connoisseur and the supermarket where the customer finds his own way around the different cheeses, the quantities and packings. Without necessary basic knowledge, it is questionable whether the customer will ever really get what he or she is after. It's usually impossible to handle the cheese in the supermarket. I must admit, I am a classic cheese handler. I have to watch me. Assess the quality by means of a simple test prescribed on page 26. That's where you press it in and sniff it. However, you are not left completely in the dark. Do you want to go back to page 26? No, let's go back. We're here. Stop and go back to page 26. Okay, go back to page 26, judging cheese. For a start, it's a good idea to take a close look at the cheese. Its appearance is often the giveaway. The cheese should be well-shaped, neither bulging, too flat, too thick. Smooth, well-sealed, rind without cracks or cloth creases. Sure, it's been carefully produced. Some cheeses have the rind of flora and this should be evenly distributed, free of any colouring that is not expected in a particular cheese type. Cheese paste itself should have no mould, unless, of course, it's a blue cheese. It should have a fresh colour, varying from white to light cream to oak yellow, according to variety. The cutting surface should be unbroken. Cracks indicate faulty production and storage. Cheeses, of course, cannot speak, but they can express themselves. A cheese expert listens. He takes a hard, semi-hard cheese in his hand, holds it to his ear, taps it with his hand, fist or a special hammer, and listens. A hollow answer indicates the open texture has too many holes, a dead sound, a blind body with hardly any holes. He can make a judgment about whether there are too few, too many, or just enough holes, or whether they are properly distributed over the body, or whether they are too large. And this one called a cheese trier, or cheese iron, is usually pushed into the cheese and boring tested. Is the trier well filled with cheese? Does the cheese look springy? Are there any holes? These are the sort of questions an expert asks, and then they go into taste and smell. You know, cheese is a living thing. So it's a guy with a cheese hammer. So I recommend going to your local supermarket with a trier. Okay. Okay. Okay, let's see. The pieces, however, you're not left completely in the dark. The pieces or boxes of cheese usually are conveniently arranged onto the shelves, provided with a label showing their name, type, price per kilogram, weight, price per item. Sometimes, also the fat content, the age, the latest date of sale, indicated. From this brief, you can learn a lot about the cheese. In addition, I can see a cheese app in my head right away. In addition to all the additional information found in previous section, we give you a few hints specifically to help you find the cheese you want in shops. Land like Emmental, Switzerland, Paramgö, Reggiana, and VCM, veritable Camembert Normandie. Well, I think, have you got your VCM? Indicate a guarantee of quality cheeses from the famous cheese area. Farmhouse cheese, fromage fermier, is made in raw milk and usually has a fruitier flavour and aroma than factory cheese. Cheese, sheep cheese and goat cheese have a special aroma. Per Chevelle is a guarantee the cheese is from goat milk. only, not mixed with cow's milk, fat content. The more fat in the cheese, the more creamy the aftertaste. Notice high fat content does not necessarily mean that the cheese is a softer consistency. It's rather a matter of the portion of dry matter to moisture. Age the older. Well, this isn't VCM, I'm going to remember that one. Age the older the cheese, the more dominating the flavour. Sometimes age differences are indicated on the label. Latest dates of sale. After this date, the optimum period is ripening is exceeded and the quality begins to deteriorate. And this is what you really should know. This is used by and best before. Apart from studying the label, it's possible to buy a closer look to get additional information. Washed cheese should have an evenly coloured rind. If you're unsure about the rind formation of a given cheese, consult the various descriptions of the cheese and country-by-country portion of the text. Cheeses have begun to sweat in the packing and have been stored too warm a temperature and exposed to the light for too long. The flavour of this cheese has deteriorated. Cheese appears dented, has been under pressure for too long. Damaged foil can be cause mold build-ups. Cheese meant to have holes should have them. Emphasis. As this type dictates. If there are no holes at all in the cheese, you will probably have a less pleasant and less full flavour as usual, due to the lack of bacteria action during ripening. Blue vein cheese should have a widespread, evenly distributed veins. The paste should have an even, whitish colour and not be too crumbly. Soft cheeses should be soft from the outside to inside. If the centre of the firm is firm and chalk white, it's not yet ripe. A Camembert or Brie that looks too dry with a rind that is hard to touch should be stored or stored for too long or kept under conditions too dry or too cold. Again, factors that negatively influence the final flavour. Goat cheese should be soft. It tends to become hard rapidly, becoming less tasty in the process. A cheese having a white coloured body when it should be yellow usually has an acidic flavour. Fresh cheese is generally the most tasty if it's prepared in the proper season. This varies, of course, from type to type, from country to country. You mentioned African cheese. Now, when studying the price, remember that large units are cheaper than small pieces. Old cheese is more expensive than young cheese. Fat cheese more expensive than lean cheese. Grated cheese and cheese cut into slices are more expensive than non-cut cheese. One pays for convenience. Fancy conditions like fruits, additions like fruits, spices, nuts, brandy, flavors increase the cost. Good cheeses does not need a trimmings anywhere. Gift packing is usually very expensive. When I'm giving gifts of cheese, I like to wrap them up myself. In many countries, there are a tendency, anyway, for pre-packed factory cheese and towards fresh cheese sold by weighing in specialised cheese shops. If this trend continues, factories will have to adapt their production and marketing mechanisms if they do not want to lose an important part of their cheese turnover. Cutting into cheese. In the shop, you can tell how big or not so big cheeses are cut by expert hand, using a knife, possibly heated, or soft, creamy, old, hard types, a wire cutter. It is very useful to know how to cut cheese in handy portions with a minimum of loss. Semi-hard cheese in the shape of a cartwheel can be cut in various patterns. See the illustrations for the example. Globe-shaped cheese are best divided into four sections and then into smallest portions. From cylindrical-shaped cheese, horizontal slices are cut, which are further divided into portions. Rectangular cheeses are less of a problem. The central part of is easily cut into slices. Cheeses with a soft body, usually smaller, are cut into triangular portions. Pyramids can be cut vertically into fours. Thank you, Nancy. And look, here's a good cheese. Got a cheese expert to colour in this page. And I think we'll finish it there. The next one is the delightful cheeses on your home, which we're getting in through there. It goes on, 1970s. You are alive and well in this book. There are many pages. I'm coming up to just give you a sneak peek. The dessert, fromage cardinal. Great degree. This is on page 217. I'm at 202 now. Cheese in your home is the next episode coming up. Thank you. podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.